NBA basketball fans, welcome back to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk some NBA playoffs. We are now officially in the second round. We're about to, two teams, Denver and Minnesota, has kicked off the second round, and, being up here in Minneapolis, I'm loving it, but... we're officially in the second round now. We know the matchups. I just mentioned one of them. OK City in Dallas. That's a really interesting matchup. New York, Indiana. Really like that matchup. Boston, Cleveland. Who knows? Maybe Cleveland can do what Miami did and win an early game and make that thing a little bit more interesting than a lot of people do, you know, believe it will be on paper. So we are going to preview and predict the round two stuff, no doubt about it. Before we get there, we'll recap, some of this stuff. A little bit more detail when it comes to the long series. Obviously, Cleveland-Orlando had a game seven yesterday. That was a nice comeback from Cleveland. Really fun series, no doubt. That Knicks-Philly series was really, really fun. A lot of comebacks back and forth in both games. Just fun basketball, man. Overtimes, forced overtimes, doing their thing. Even that Denver Lakers series was actually fun to watch, even though it was 4-1. But when we last talked, Marshall, we predicted I think 9 game 7s. I don't think you could have 9 game 7s, but we predicted a couple of them, and we only got one. But man. When you start to look at it, if we had some healthier players in some of those series, we could have had 3, possibly 4 game 7. So it was a great first round to watch, like I said. So we'll kind of talk it through a little bit. We won't go too deep into detail, especially, on the quick ones. But then we'll preview and predict this second round as we started off. If this is your first time listening to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to blogtalk and ropeadope to download the show directly there. If you don't want to, you can find this NBA podcast under ropeadope radio on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. You can download the podcast app, Player FM, Google Podcasts. Basically just, Google ropeadope radio. You'll find it. While you're at it, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com and Sports News 24. Real quick, DirecTV stream. It's playoff time. See the buckets and goals that will crown champions all on DirecTV stream, plus save $30. Also with the MLB all the way in, you get home field advantage. DirecTV stream carries the most local MLB games. So play ball for a limited time, $98.99 for the first 3 months. There's also a sports pack deal. It saves you $14.99. First month of DirecTV sports pack is on us. If you sign up, choose the DirecTV stream package that's right for you. No annual contracts, no hidden fee. And if you start at the base package, entertainment plus the sports pack, that'll give you $84.98 for 3 months, which is a pretty damn good deal. And right about now, if you're in certain places like Minnesota and other Bally's, there's a bunch of regional stuff. I think there's like over 20 of them. Bally's is messing with people right now. It's off of YouTube. I think it's off of Comcast. Does Spectrum have it? DirecTV Stream definitely has it. So, now at least if you have cable, which you likely do if you had Bally's, at least you can watch it on TNT and ESPN, but man. What a freaking poor timing for that shit, man. That is pretty crazy. Anyway, let me get back to reality. I went way too long. I just realized it. Marshall, how are you doing on this fine day as we start to break down the Western and Eastern Conference semifinals, my friend?
Life is pretty good, Chris. Coaching season's over. I do love it, but from October to May, my life is crazy. Now I get a nice little 4 month break of just relaxing and just being a regular teacher and enjoying the summer. So and I'll be home all July this summer, so I'll be able to see plenty of time. So yeah, now I get to enjoy life a little bit till back to the grind on October. So the one thing that just kind of hit me before, right when we were doing the intro to the show, was I remember, because we've done this NBA playoff show at least for 5 or 6 years now, probably maybe one or two more, about how we used to always talk about like Golden State or LeBron, and how during those years we talk about, well, other, you know, now's your time to build, and now's your time to like get a team. So a couple years from now, when Golden State and LeBron kind of fade away, who are we going to be looking at? And I do remember us talking about, well, if Denver could ever stay healthy, and about how the, for the most part, the Timberwolves and the OKC Thunder were doing their part. And now a couple of years later, as we predicted a handful of years ago, hey, Denver's still doing their part because they've helped probably develop more than we thought they would 3 years ago. And OKC and Minnesota have really pieced together like some nice rosters. So it's just kind of, you know, interesting how, you know, as sometimes I guess you have to be patient as fans. I know I was very spoiled. If my team never wins another NBA title, I can't bitch because Golden State did their part. But as fans, sometimes, Chris, you have to sit through the growing pains, and then you're going to be able to enjoy some success. And I think that has been a tip of the cap to Minnesota and OKC for franchises who've, obviously, Wolves have been through a little more tougher years than OKC. But hey,
I was going to say, they got to the freaking finals, dude. They were getting out of the first round a lot. I'm not shedding a tear for them.
But you're adding up pieces when you know that, hey, this probably isn't our year to win it, but let's try to find growth and build. And obviously your Wolves have really done that, and OKC and other teams. So, you know, it's kind of like a new turn of tables. And for Denver, it's always been, well, if they can stay healthy. And so far, Jokic and Murray have been healthy, and there again. So the Western Conference, I've always just been a little more biased on that just because I've been a fan of the Western Conference more than the East. The Western Conference is loaded, and we have good playoff preview in the East, but man, it's just, I guess, some fan bases are going to be very excited because that Western Conference Finals is going to be a matchup we've not seen for quite a while, more likely, my friend.
Well, I mean, we already got the Western Conference final matchup in the second round, if we're being honest. But, you know, I won't get into it. But you're right. It actually, even on the East, like we were just talking about, you know, before we hit record, that the Knicks, dude, in the next few years could make it to the finals if they stay healthy and they keep adding pieces.
Sure.
They definitely could. The Celtics are still relatively, anyway, young. You know, they've been to the finals a couple years ago. They were up a couple years ago in the finals and ended up losing the, you know. But so it's, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot going on. It's pretty crazy. No LeBron, no KD, no Steph in the second round for the first time since 2005. Obviously, you know, LeBron was there for those other guys. But that just kind of shows you. And just in general, Bill Simmons tweeted this. You know, if you look about who's not in the second round, right? KD, LeBron, AD, Zion, Booker, Butler, Bam, Embiid, Maxey, Giannis, Dame, Sabonis, Curry. You know, there's other players as well. This was like right before it was the second round was starting. But
sure.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of a, like a, not kind of, it is a passing of the guard. And, you know, if you look at, it's kind of like it happens in boxing a lot, you know, passing the torch and all that. And sometimes, usually it happens when a guy's a little bit older, and the young guy is just ready to overtake. And that's exactly what we saw. Now, all but one game, Durant had a good series, don't get me wrong, against the Timberwolves. But, you know, like that's a passing of the guard type thing where you're like, dude, you're not getting any younger. We'll see how that team goes. I know the GM the other day felt real confident in this press conference. But, yeah, man, it makes it interesting. It, you know, for you and I and, you know, kind of all-day, everyday type basketball fans that have been watching it for a long time, we love it, you know. Now, for the podcast listenership, right, or for, like, the casuals, it's going to take some time. You know, when you don't have Curry and you don't have Steph, or I'm sorry, and you don't have LeBron, especially you don't have those two going head to head, in the plethora of talent and names that were on those teams as well, especially Golden State, you know, the ratings, they're just not going to be as high. But yeah, this is definitely a you know, if we've talked about for a while in the 20s and like 25, 26 and down, but just players in their 20s right now. The league is very, very deep and very, very talented. And there is a guy who the last 2 months of the season down there in San Antonio looked like he's about to take over the damn league himself. So, yeah, the league's healthy, but, you know, it does take some time. Stars are born usually in the playoffs. So, but, yeah, I mean, it's been 20 years since the Timberwolves got out of the first round, dude. So I'm freaking happy as hell. Let's go. Let's get into this, though, okay? Let's start with the Game 7. Might as well. It was yesterday. Orlando had a big-ass lead. Second half, right? So this is like late third quarter. Cleveland had overtaken the lead. It was 76-68. And in the second half, So Cleveland had outscored Orlando 47-21 since the 4:48 mark in the second quarter. They really, really took it to them. And in the second half, later in the game, 45-24, this got worse too, but their top three, Suggs, Wagner, and Banchero, 3-for-20. I think it got to like 3-of-25 in the second half. They just kind of fell apart. Not kind of. They did fall apart. They got off to a great start, but couldn't close the door. Both of us like Cleveland to win this, but I think we can both agree that we didn't think it would be Game 7. You know, it'd be nice if Allen could play, you know, for Cleveland, because that would help out their whole big lineup. There's only multiple teams that have big lineups, and they're one of them. They have talent. The last 2 years, they've showed, like, here and there they have, you know, like, sustained talent. This year, they actually had a nice run, Cleveland did, earlier in the year before some injuries hit them. Obviously, Mitchell was out, and Mobley was out as well. Mobley's been playing pretty good. Cleveland, though, got the job done, kind of ran away with it. Mitchell definitely did his thing. Even in the losing effort, he was doing his thing. After having that rough start in the first half of Game 6, he went the F off. But, you know, good for Cleveland. They move on. But, man, Orlando, they actually have a little bit more juice than I thought, considering how young they are and how much cap room and maneuverability they have in the coming years.
Yeah, I think that's a step where we talked about this last week, and this could be something where, you know, God bless Rudy Nestrell 3 years from now. Okay, well, when did Orlando's kind of start begin? And this could be the first year. Because as I said last week, if you look at almost any team that's ever won the NBA title, they normally get bounced out first round and they start working their way up, like Golden State did, or, you know, like Braun did. Like pretty much every team, it's really rare that you put a team together and you make a deep run to win a finals. Like that normally doesn't happen. So you got to start poking away. And if you're Orlando, this was a start in the right direction. You've been drafting pretty well. You have a lot of young talents. So you want to do that again. If you're Cleveland, as you said, obviously the injury bug can't get cured immediately, but I'm sure they do wish they had the roster entirely they had at the first 30 games of the year, because those first 30 games were nasty. But, hey, end of the day, you survived past round one. Mitchell did his part. As you said, obviously having Mobley and Allen would be very beneficial. But they're going to do what they're going to do. Obviously, they will be heavy underdogs going into the series against Boston, which won't do them any favors. But, again, what is your expectation for Cleveland? You know, as a fan base, like, this is probably where the fan base expected them to be. You have a superstar in Mitchell. He's not top 10, but he's good. He's a guy that can score. He's a good guard. But then when you look at the rest of the roster, okay, you got Mobley and Allen, are those guys elite? They're good. You know, it's like, it's almost like, okay, you made it here, but what pieces can you add to keep building this Cleveland team? I feel that, Chris, maybe they start off the year by surprising people, and you have a good squad, but, you know, if you're looking to become like an Eastern Conference Finals team or make it to the NBA Finals, like, is Mobley, Alan Mitchell, and like Garland and Strus, is that a Finals caliber lineup, or is it one that's going to get ran off the gym by Boston? Like, you know, I think they're going the right way, but it's almost like you need a healthy squad, which obviously is hard to get come NBA playoff time because injuries do happen. So I think they're having a good year, but now they're obviously going to be very big underdogs against Boston. And what is the expectation for that for the fan base, and how do you find a way to knock off the team who's had the best Eastern Conference title or record this year? I don't know. It's going to be hard to do. Like, it just, I don't know. Because Boston's got a few more pieces than they do. So hats off to Cleveland. Now you're really going to have to dig deep and pull out some good coaching adjustments.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then let's get to that Knicks 76ers. You know, that both teams had big ass comebacks in this. I mean, the Knicks won 4-2, but the point total had the Knicks winning by 1 point overall as far as points. That's pretty freaking crazy. And I gotta admit, you know, once Brunson just went off in that game game four, and they're up 3-1. I think he had like 47 points, 10 assists, just nasty. 3-1, I was like, all right, that's probably it. You know, more than likely that's going to be a wrap. But, you know, credit to, you know, game five. I mean, there was a point where it was 96-90 with like 20-something seconds left. And the Knicks looked like they were in control. All of a sudden, they weren't. And Maxey definitely, you know, had those moments to force overtime games. He had a big series. You know, it would have been nice for Embiid to maybe have like an extra maybe 10 games or 15 games just to get in better shape. You know, when you have a serious injury, it is hard to come back on that playoff level. He did have, you know, multiple games, I suppose. I think he had like 4 or 5 before the playoffs started. But it's tough, man, especially for bigs to come back and be sharp, in shape. You know, you can run all you want. You can go in the swimming pool. You can get on a bike. You can do all that stuff, but you need game legs. And then he had that other thing with his eye. You know, which is like, dude, Embiid just has the worst luck. And we always know that he's going to get banged up come May. I mean, that's just ongoingly. The thing about him is he fights back, though. One game you look and you're like, man, he left the game. It doesn't look good. 2 games later, he's putting up 40 points. You know, he went for frickin', didn't he go for 50 or whatever? I mean, so he looks haggard out there a little bit. But he still was trying to – he was just switching up his game. We talked about this in the preview that he's going to have to switch up his game. He wasn't going to the rack as much. You could see he was favoring it. But I thought, considering – I'd say he turned the ball over too many times, obviously. But considering he was limited, I thought he gave it a go. You know, a couple of other players stood out for me for Philly, speaking of cap room and who they may bring in. People talk about Paul George and other people. Imagine if they brought Jimmy Butler back. They never should have let his ass go. But all in all, though, a fun-ass series. And like I said, if Embiid had a couple of weeks just to get in shape, not health, because I don't like to talk about Embiid in health because it is what it is, but in shape. You can tell he wear down as the games go on. If that was the case, this probably is a 7-game series, man. But overall, that was a hell of a series, man.
Yeah, looking back, the atrocity, if you're a Philly fan, of when Maxey got tackled on those two plays or in the back-to-back inbounds play call for the travel.
Yeah.
Like, if they win that game, as they probably should have, if the refs don't botch that entirely, like, then this maybe the Philly wins the series or it goes 7. Like, you know, and I, you know, you can always cry about calls in NBA, but like that one, those were super bad.
Those well, they even admitted calls. Remember yeah. 3.6 and 4.2, you know, whatever. Like, he got hit two damn falls, yeah. And then they didn't get the call at the timeout either.
No. So that probably could have spun what was a very competitive series. Now, again, if you're Philly, like, dude, you've been talking this team up for last 6-7 years, and you still can't seem to get to the final. So I don't know what the plan is, but I'm not a Philly fan, so thankfully that's okay. But again, you have pieces. I think Maxey's got potential to become even more of a star. And if Embiid's healthy, he's special, but that always seems to be a tough case, and like injuries do happen. But I think that you obviously have two people to build off of, and you need to bring in a third guy and just hope maybe you catch Embiid for a healthy year. But every time I'm on YouTube when I'm bored, I'm always watching like those just random like big game highlights. You always see the Kawhi showered ball bounced off the rim like 5 times.
Yeah,
winning,
everybody's you know, staring so that, at it.
Yeah, if you're a Philly fan, that probably gives you nightmares because that game would have gone to OT, and who knows, maybe that's the year Philly does go to the finals. But
and they probably keep Jimmy.
They probably do. So, with that being said, hey, the Knicks, you got your star in Bronson, who I was looking at the numbers. I remember last show I asked you, is he a top 20 player, and you said yes. And I was like, I don't know, but right now that dude's averaging. You know, I was listening to some podcasts that are saying he's got Stephen Curry numbers. Why don't you put some respect on his name? I'm like, oh, maybe I got to recheck myself because he has been going off this whole playoffs. And
he goes off in the playoffs, too. He did this in Dallas, too, remember?
True. He. The only thing I'll say is for them, they need, you know, we're talking about all these teams in the East. He needs some help. Like, this is a gritty-ass, hard-playing. It almost makes things like a college.
Well, let's preview the Knicks in a little bit once we get.
Okay, but I'm just saying, but like, if you look at Brunson, like who a Batman or Robin? Who's Robin? Is it like Hart, like or DiVincenzo? Like, I'll give Brunson credit because he's having a hell of a run, and the Knicks are playing great. Team defense are scrappy. They chase for loose balls. I think they said they had 121 second chance points. Philly had 73. So you're, it's a blue collarish NBA team, if I would say, but it's like, damn, if you check the roster out, like I've been telling my friends all year about Naz Reid, cause I feel that down in Texas, not many people know about him. If you ask a regular NBA fan on any show, like, hey, who are the next three best players? I don't know. People might know Julius Randle and Brunson. And then it's like some dude from Villanova. Yeah, I know. So, hey, They played a great series. They got a little bit of lucky from the refs calls, and they provided a lot of good entertainment because almost all those games on the series were very fun and enjoyable to watch. And as you said before the show started, if the Knicks were in it, the NBA loves it because that's ratings. And back in the day, like the Knicks were good. When I was growing up into basketball, the Knicks were the hot shit because they had bad blood with the Pacers and the Heat. And that was always fun to watch. So it's good for the sport if they're good, and they're trending back upwards, Chris. They really are.
Well, and back to Philly, let's focus on them since they're the one out. Since the process started in 2013, 2014, you got to trust it. Okay, you got to trust the process. 7 playoffs, 0 Eastern Conference Finals, right? So you have Boston, 10 playoffs in that time, 5 East Finals. Milwaukee, 9, 2 of them. Miami, 8. Playoffs, 4 Eastern Conference Finals. Toronto, 2 of them. Atlanta got to 2 Eastern Conference Finals with the no names, and then a couple years ago. Indiana even got to an Eastern Conference Final, you know, when they were really good there for a second. Brooklyn has yet to get there. They got the same 7 playoffs, no finals. And then obviously Cleveland, you know, got a chip, and then 4 Eastern Conference Finals. They've been in the playoffs 6 times. So, it is one of those things, man. Like I said, Embiid, once you get to May, his body's going to break down. And maybe it is because, I don't know, sometimes he does rest throughout the season too. So it's not like they're overworking him. Now, you could say the style that they've played in kind of overworks him because so much goes through him, you know? I guess you could say that. But he does. He doesn't play, you know, 70 some games every year or something like that. They do shut him down a fair amount. But and maybe doing that actually doesn't work until you need it when you're older, and then your body can't adjust to playing the full minutes every game. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But Embiid, just one of those players that's a hell of a player. Shit, Marshall. Earlier this year, dude. He was having a fucking crazy year. I mean, he's had some damn good years, don't get me wrong. and we can argue back and forth about the MVP or not. Sometimes they just give it to somebody because they want somebody else to win, you know, whatever. But, I mean, earlier this year, dude, he was going nuts, dude, before the injury. So, man, you still got to trust the process. You still got to do it. It was pretty crazy, though, that last game, the Knicks had a huge lead. Philly comes storming back. You know, we're going to talk about the Knicks and the bench because there was a moment there where it was 30-0 on the bench somewhere in the third quarter. So, but, yeah, we'll see what they do in the offseason. Like I said that about my Timberwolves, you know, that they didn't they shouldn't have got rid of Jimmy. But, you know, I really think Philly shouldn't have got rid of Jimmy, obviously. But, you know, the Wolves took care of the Suns. OKC took care of New Orleans, both sweeps. No Zion in that, so that really did suck. The first two games in what, probably three out of the four? But the first two games are super tight. Like, I thought New Orleans should have won one of those games. That would have been another series that probably goes six if Zion's there. But, you know, he's not. And he got a hamstring, played a hell of a year. But he's only had two good-ass years. It's not even two good years. He's always played good when he's played. But it's you know, health is a big thing with him. So we won't go too deep into those series. Although, you know, right before tip-off, technically the Suns were the favorite, Marshall, in that series. And once I saw it get to plus 120 and plus 110, I was like, nah, dude, I'm taking that plus 110. I even saw a website, although I couldn't bet on it. It was plus 130, dude, for the Wolves. It's like, no, I'm jumping on plus 110. Fuck that. So that, you know, I thought that was a little over the top. The Celtics slip up, game two. You know, Miami hits like 48 threes or whatever. You know, they just went nuts in that game. But then they closed it out, no problem. So, you know, beyond the Dallas and Clippers series in the West, it was pretty much easy to, you know, tell who was going to win. Now, the thing I'll say about Denver, it's a 4-1 series, but that was close as shit. It was competitive. The first probably 2.5 quarters were all mostly the Lakers. And then somewhere in the third, Denver would kind of grind back, and sometimes they would take to the fourth, but they would take the lead and kind of take it over and do their normal fourth quarter thing. But Murray had to hit basically two game winners to get through that series. So, I mean, that was actually, all things considered, I don't think anyone really ever felt that they were going to win the series by any stretch, but that could have easily been a 6 or 7 game series. And there were stats, Marshall, that when the Lakers did win, finally win that game, there was like 129 minutes compared to 41 or something like that, where they had the lead in the series, and there was 14 minutes where they were tied. But, I mean, it was unbelievable, like, how they just played well. And even last year, a couple of those games are right there, dude, in that series. It's got to be so frustrating. But before that 3-0 start, the Lakers had outscored the Nuggets by 35 points in the first half and, you know, didn't win a game. But Murray came through in the clutch twice.
Yeah, when I think that you see, like, kind of the toxic media news after the Lakers season ended as to why maybe they had trouble closing out, like, coaches fired, guys taking shots at each other. Obviously, that can happen on good teams as well. But maybe there was not the team chemistry that they'd wanted for the Lakers. And clearly, besides LeBron, who still, again, had a hell of a year, especially for a guy his age, they just didn't quite have the pieces to make work. And as, you know, people were ripping on Ham about, he's like, well, I really didn't have a bench this year. Like, what do you want me to do? You know, like, and that goes to show, Chris, as we were saying, in the first half, you build your lead, you're playing good ball. Second half, you need subs, guys get tired. What's your roster looking like, or what's your squad looking like in the fourth quarter? So for the most of the first half of that whole series, the Lakers looked like the better team or the team that could play just on par with them. But when you do need rotations and clutch players and team chemistry, that didn't exist. And it was shown by obviously how the series played out and kind of how I thought the media was talking about them after the series was over. So we'll see now if LeBron leaves or his son comes to join him or whatever. But obviously if LeBron stays, they'll be okay because that guy still is special. But yeah, and AD, when healthy, is still a generational, well, very, very good player. But you need all that to happen. So we'll see with the Lakers. They're never going to go away because they got the money to spend. LeBron's there for now. But if you're the Nuggets, again, it wasn't the, like you said, the most dominant series, and Murray had to hit some, like, some talented game-winning shots, which he did. So at the end of the day, you know, you got your star players in Jokic and Murray, and they stepped up when they had to. But it, like you said, it wasn't the confidence boost made per se as to how Minnesota kind of whooped up on Phoenix as opposed to the Lakers and Nuggets, which were, you know, really doesn't matter how you win, but you obviously as a fan, you want your team to win more confidently. And yeah, the Nuggets made their fans sweat a little bit. So I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, this ain't the Lakers show. So, but hey, they played hard, but Denver advances as a team who was favored to do so. They did, Chris.
Yeah, definitely. If they were sweating a little bit in that, they're sweating a little bit right now, I'll tell you that. So Dallas and the Clippers got one early, made it, a series, no doubt. It is one of those series, like I said. I know we picked a bunch of Game 7 potentials in our preview. We only got one, but there's no way if Kawhi is healthy, and once again, if Kawhi is healthy in May, so I'm not making excuses for them. That's just reality. I mean, if you go six games and you don't have Kawhi, I know he played, but, you know, you could tell when he played. It was like, yeah, dude, you're not, you know. And when he played okay. And then when he played that, I think it was game two and then game three came back, you could tell he was feeling the first game. It was like, yeah, he don't look good at all. So it was pretty smart to actually sit him and try to win the series. But, 2-2, I thought this could go to game seven. I really did. Irving, Kyrie, freaking that second half, I think he had like 28 some odd points in that second half, just went off. Some of the shots, you know, some of the shot making were pretty crazy. Luka doing Luka things, obviously. And we'll talk about Dallas as far as how they remade their team, where it's back to being more defensive oriented and a little bit more athletic. It's a little bit longer. But, you know, you got another year with the Clippers where you're like, a couple years ago, Kawhi had to leave the playoffs and they made the conference final. And it was like, dude, man, this team, if they can other get healthy. Remember they had that, 17-4 run or something during this, this season? I think they had two different spurts of like a maybe 5-6 weeks where you're like, wow, this team's really starting to look like it could go to the finals. And I believe both of the times the Timberwolves calmed down a little bit. But, I mean, you know, I don't know, man. It's like you put the team together, you know, for a while you couldn't even really see them in the regular season, which was a major issue. This year you did get more of, hey, they're playing together, dude. They're a pretty damn good team when they're playing together. But, you know, the NBA, much like the NHL, is long fucking season. And as these guys get older, they have a lot of tread, you know, on them and health issues and all that. And Kawhi's a great player. There's no doubt about it. But obviously health plays a major factor. And like I said, this 1-2 punch of Dallas for scoring and then other folks step up here and there, knock down shots. Like I said, a few years ago when they had that nice run, they were a defensive sound team, and they had two scorers. Remember the other scorer now is in the Knicks, with the Knicks. So, but, yeah, the Clippers, man, they're about to move into a new arena, and it is arena. It's an arena. It's not a stadium. I don't know how many people call it a stadium that are national pundits. It's not a stadium, dude. They're not going to play football there, okay? It's an arena. No, but they got this new home. And you just think, you know, what if Paul George is from LA? Does he want to stay there? Probably, but then again, he's going to look around and be like, man, I could go to Philly. I could do this. I could do that. Like, I don't know if I do want to stay here. It's just they have a combination of good players, Marshall, but they just don't have them available when they need them, you know? And it is what it is. It's another season where it sure showed there was potential. They showed it more during the regular season than they have of late. I'll give them that. But, you know, it is what it is, man. I just don't know what else you do here. And it's much like Phoenix, except Phoenix is even more. If you look at those three players that they got to pay. I mean, Bradley Beal's had a good scoring career, no doubt. I'm not ripping him. But, man, you look at the next couple of years and how much they owe him. Whew. I mean, these two teams, the Suns and the Clippers, you know, it's just got to be frustrating to be a Clipper fan, man, because they know they have potential to get to a finals, but they just can't stay on the court together so you can actually see it. And seeing is believing, and it's hard to believe.
Yeah, I'll just say I agree with what you said about the Clippers. I don't need to repeat the airwaves on that. And for the Suns, you don't have a first round pick until 2030. Like, dude, you went all in on this. You have no bench, which got shown in the playoffs, and you have no first round picks for the next 6 years. Like, holy shit, what was your master plan on this? Like my buddy was saying, it's like they're trying to make like a video game team, you know, where you can like trade off like the AI monitor, like GM thing, it's like on Madden or something or 2K.
They figured
the
they could bid up 140 points a game, you know?
Yeah, and then your best bench player, Grayson Allen, got hurt in the first round, and then you realize you really had no bench, and the three didn't mesh together, and KD is out there yelling, complaining about after the series is over. I didn't really fit in like he always does after he loses because that's what he does. That's my 2 cents on him. where do you go from here? Like, I know that NBA drafts are hard for the second round to have second round guys become talented. You need a point guard.
And, they need Michael Conley is what they need.
You're strapped for cash. You don't have any future draft picks, and you really don't have a whole lot of wiggle room financially because your three best players are getting paid a lot of money. But there's rumors that Booker might dip out east too. So maybe Booker goes to the Knicks was the rumor I saw or whatever. So maybe he did. Who knows? Maybe Booker does go become a Knick, and if you got Brunson and Booker, like you're saying, that's a good step for the next. I'm not. Who knows? But it could happen.
You're saying like but force yeah. a trade because isn't he under contract?
No. He they said he.
Oh, he's a free agent.
So yeah, or he has the option to opt out. Yeah. So if Booker goes to Knickerbockers, like who knows? But yeah, if you're Phoenix, man, you better hope to hit some good second round draft picks, or you better hope that some of your bench starts to grow. Because if not, you got a lot of people together there, and it's not looking too hot. So, and for the Clippers, just like Embiid, every year you have hope, every year your star gets hurt, and every year you got to rebuild and regain faith for next year. Because, you know, Vegas will have the Clippers and Philly highly rated next year again. But, again, until we get into the finals, who knows? So, I don't know. Those are two teams in, well, tough situations, relatively. They're a little bit different for Clippers and Philly, but still. You have hope every year and then fades away come playoff time.
And are you positive about that Booker thing?
Yeah, because, yeah, I remember, yeah, hearing the Booker, if he wants to, could head to New York after this year if he wants to. Yeah, I'm very, pretty strongly confident, yeah, because I remember reading about that, that if he wanted to jump ship, he could go join the Knicks this offseason.
I'm pretty sure his extension kicks in. This coming year.
I might have misheard, but I thought, well, then, yeah, I heard the rumor. So I might have misheard, but I thought they said he could be a Knick next year if you want to and avoid all this hot mess in Phoenix.
Yeah, because he signed a Supermax in two summers ago for 4 years. And I doubt they'd have options that early in it.
I don't know. Yeah.
But either way, I mean, you could force a trade. You know what I mean?
True.
So, I mean, that would get you there, too. So, either way.
True.
But, yeah, I mean, the next 3 years, they got to pay those guys. Like, it's pretty crazy. But, you know, I mean, that GM, did you hear the press conference? He was like, hey, dude, 20-some-odd teams would like to have our roster. So, we're fine. We just need to tweak. We just need to do that. So, he's confident. So, but, no, I they definitely need a point guard to organize stuff. You know, a lot of people talk shit about Chris Paul, but, you know, he was a lot more organized because that's his job as a point guard. And it doesn't mean he was the best player on that team because he wasn't. Booker was going off at that point. But it took a lot of pressure off Booker. And obviously playing a team like the Wolves, you're not going to play a team that swarms quite like that on defense. Obviously, and not have McDaniels and all that, but still, yeah, man, they got their work cut out for them, both of them. Whereas at least I could see what the Clippers built. It just isn't on the court in May, you know? But sure. You could say, hey, dude, and they look good. You know, this year, two different times, they look damn good. I was like, wow. Although the Timberwolves match up with them because they do go isolation a lot, and they are older players, so we thrive against that. But the teams that move the ball, that's where it's harder to defend. But, yeah, it'll be interesting when it comes to that, no doubt. You know, if you look at some of the other series real quick, and we probably shouldn't go much longer here, but Indiana, you know, definitely did their thing. Talking about depth and bench points and all that, I remember there'd be a couple. It's weird because – they had that one game. They had no Dame, no Giannis, and oh, they'll just destroy the Pacers randomly. You know, like that was just weird. But in that closeout game, I remember seeing a, you know, I remember seeing the bench stuff for the Bucks. It was rough, man. And you know, once again, there's talent on the team. Giannis is still in his prime. Obviously, he didn't get to play, and then, you know, Dame was kind of in and out of the lineup as well. Middleton actually had a really good – I mean, he missed time too, but in the first round, he averaged like 27 points, shot, you know, good from the field, free throw line, all that, three-point. He was doing his thing. He's a damn good player. They have the talent. But – that's where coaching comes in, too. And it was pretty questionable in general to do what they did. Even if you think Doc's probably a better coach than the guy that was there, it's just weird. Like, I know they have a high bar, right, because they've always been good, and then they won the championship that year. But it's just – I still think it was kind of a head-scratcher because then – you signed Doc for a multiple years then, you know? So that was kind of like, well, I hope you really like him because that's who you got now for the next couple of years. I thought it was a little rushed. But I know Giannis didn't like the coach. A lot of people didn't like the current coach, and they were having issues. Clearly, you could see it on the court. But they were in, like, second place, you know what I mean? Now, being second place in the East, what was it, a 14-point? Margin or something between them and the Celtics, you know, whoever was second, the Knicks. So, I mean, I guess it's not saying a whole lot, but it wasn't that kind of margin when they fired their coach. But I don't know, man. You know, some of the trades they've made have worked. And, you know, the holiday thing, you know, to get Dame, that's awesome. But to have that style, you know, that caliber player, especially defensively, go to the Celtics, that's pretty like, wow, okay. We got Dame, that's cool, but we let a damn good two-way player now with the Celtics. We got to get through them. So, I don't know. I think there's hope. If they could be healthy for most of the season, that would help. But where do you think the Bucks are at, man? And you know, Haliburton and the young squad, you know, handled business. They were supposed to win the series when Giannis doesn't play, and they did.
Obviously, I think if you have a regular playoff series where the Greek Freak and Dame are healthy, they're probably going to win the series. Because even, hell, Brook Lopez every year, I swear that guy doesn't age. Is he, like, a top star? No, but the guy's still fucking good. So
yes.
And Bobby Portis, hey, when he's not, you know, backslapping people in the head and getting thrown out of games, he's one of the best role players in basketball. So I don't think you tweak the roster. I do think, obviously, you make questions about the coach because his playoff record has had moments where it's not that, you know, not the best. And you could argue that the title he won in Boston, we had three Hall of Famers on starting five. So how much that was his, who knows? But I would be more concerned about Doc Rivers than the team because, again, Giannis and Greek and Bobby Portis, like, and Middleton, like, that's still, like, probably a top five roster in basketball if healthy. So I wouldn't mess with that too much.
It's a hell of a roster, man.
Middleton is a guy that can almost get an automatic bucket himself, too. But they had so many injuries, and to lose that game where Portis got thrown out, and then Bev is chucking the ball at the fans, like, they kind of just had a little bit of a meltdown. And obviously when you're playing a team like the Pacers left your run and gun, like, you know, it was just they got hot. They were shooting threes like crazy for a couple games in that series, and that was just a tough matchup for them. But, again, if they were healthy, I got a feeling we're talking about Milwaukee playing the Knicks instead of – or, sorry, Milwaukee – yeah, playing the Knicks instead of the Pacers. So I wouldn't tinker too much, man. You still got a lot of really high-caliber players because – we've seen it alone. Dame alone can win a playoff series on his own. He did in Portland, or not out, well, about on his own, too. And Giannis is hard to defend, so they should be back next year pretty strong and confident, you would imagine.
Now, defensively, I don't think they're going to be where they were a few years ago.
Sure.
Dame is pretty much a one-sided player. He can D up from time to time, but he's kind of weak on that side. But they have a bunch of other players that can defend, so they can hide him. Yeah, you're right, man. That the roster's there. There's no doubt about that. There is just no doubt about that. All right, let's start. Should we get into this stuff here? Let's predict this stuff. Well, shit, we might as well start. We're about to hit game two in about a little over 2 hours, so we might as well start with it. Minnesota. That's right, I said Minnesota's in the second round. And not just in the second round. They are up 1-0 on Denver. You know, Denver without Bruce Brown is not as good off the bench. Although in the first half, their bench outplayed the Timberwolves bench. But that wasn't the case in the second half. You know, clearly it was it was the Ant show early at 25 in the first half. I think it was only Towns that had like 2 field goals. Otherwise, nobody – I mean, it was really bad. I think he had like 7 points in the first half. Otherwise, everybody had 0-2. It was bad. I think there was like 4 key players, no points. It was weird. But then the second half, Cat, right at the beginning of the third quarter, went off. I think he had like 11 straight points or something like that. Then Conley got into it. And it was kind of interesting. As it was like Ant went off – and then like 5 of 5 Towns, then like 4 of 4 Conley, then Ant kind of got it going a little bit at the end of the third, and then Nas went like 4 of 4, and he went off. I think he had 14 in the fourth quarter, and then later in that game, you know, Ant got into his mid-range bag and started just pulling it out. And it was a competitive game, no doubt. They jumped on them 18-4 or whatever it was. You know, down the stretch of the season, the Timberwolves were having problems showing up in the first quarter randomly. They've pretty much been dominant in the third quarter this year, and in the playoffs as well. But they've been starting good lately, no doubt about that. But Denver hasn't, and it continued. And it was kind of weird to see. You're at home. You've had rest now. You had 4 days off as well, so you shouldn't really be tired. I know Murray got injured minorly in his calf in that series. I know he didn't practice. They pretty much shut him down for a little bit. Maybe he had to get the rust off. Had 0 points in the first half. Second half went off. Started going off anyway. But, you know, the matchup, if you look at a team's that match up with Denver, You'd have to have Minnesota right there near the top, if not the top, just styles make fights matchups, even if they lose this series. They have four big bodies to throw at Jokic, and they're not trying to be like, we need to shut down Jokic. We need to have Jokic not have 12 assists. That's the big thing with him. He had, I think, six turnovers, which is a ton for him in that game. I got to admit, like, I really felt this series was going to go six or seven pretty much really confidently, but I didn't necessarily call for the Wolves to win game one like they did.
Well, I got 5,000 reasons to be cheering for those Timberwolves of yours. I've always kind of liked them a little bit, but obviously they've never been a diehard team of mine at all. I won't lie about that. But I made a nice bet for them to win the West when the season was 25 games deep at 16-1. So that'd be nice. I'll definitely buy new drinks in July if that comes through. So I think the biggest thing that stands out to me so far is the Timberwolves coaching staff and their bench. The coaching staff, because I did watch that closeout game versus Phoenix, and I was like, man, I'm scared. I don't know if they're going to get past the first round, because Phoenix had really beat them up in the regular season, but they come out and sweep the Suns. And then you had your head coach go down in just a very awkward fall with his with Conley falling into him, and he busts up his knee, and you're like, okay, well, now you got coaching staff switch up or whatever, and you win game one. They've won five games in a row. Like, so clearly that coaching staff of theirs is getting credit. I know in the NBA we talk a lot about players, but that coaching staff, I think, has done a hell of a job. They scouted the shit out of the Suns, and now you want to go win game one at Denver on the road, which is not easy. And you right now have the best player in the – arguably one of the best players in the playoffs, aside from maybe a guy named Brunson East playing for you in the West. Like, even though Anthony Edwards is super young, he won you game one, and the dude has just been on a tear. I keep hearing on different podcasts, people are like, well, all these Barkley and all these guys, it's like they're afraid to compare him to, like, you know, Kobe or LeBron or Jordan. But it's like, even if the fact that his name's being mentioned with, like, some of the best to ever play the game shows, like, the respect that people that know basketball 20 times more than me are giving him. Like, if you're mentioning Anthony Edwards, he's showing shades like Kobe and stuff. Like, good Lord, man. The kid's not even 23. And he has scored, I just saw a stat that showed on NBA TNT. He scored 35 points in a row in three games, and he's under 23. Only three other people have done that, and it was Kobe, LeBron, and Wilt Chamberlain. So whatever this kid is doing is working. And when you do have the best player on the court, it's amazing how a lot of times in basketball that team wins. Like, Brunson was the best player on the court versus Knicks. Right now, for game one, Anthony Edwards was the best player on the court for game one of that series. And he's just on a heater, man. Like, I don't see him play as much as you do, because I live in Texas and you're in Minnesota, and you obviously watch the Wolves a lot more than me. But I know my buddies have been blowing him up while you're in the group chat. And I'll say this quote from him, and I'll throw it back to you. He said that when he got drafted, his biggest knock was people thought I wasn't a shooter. He's like, so a lot of times I spent time in the summer and I was putting up sometimes 2,000 shots a day. And he said, I was tired as hell, but I had to get a shot down. If you watch the guy play now, that shot in his form is a beautiful thing. So hats off to the coaching, hats off to the 5-0 record so far. But again, when you got the best player on the court, Chris, it's amazing how fun basketball can be to watch for a team that you love.
Yeah, but you also have to have a team built around them as well.
Oh, true. Oh,
because we've
I'm not
seen
denying that. 100%.
Plenty of best players. MJ had six seasons of being one of the best players and just couldn't get over the hump. LeBron as well. So you have to have – I mean, we have the number one defense by a mile, and he has two, three guys that get to guard other guys, and then he'll match up with them in the fourth or something like that. So I think it's not just him, that's for sure. But, yeah, I mean, this year he's kind of transitioned. He had a little issue for probably 6 weeks, something like that, with too many turnovers and just not making the right decision. And in years past, especially like last year, because, you know, your rookie year, it is what it is, second year, you know. But last year, his shot selection, last 2 years in the playoffs, his shot selection has been funky. And so much so that they'd never put the best, unless he got on a heater, they'd never put the best defender on him. if you look at every series we ever had, playing as well. They always guarded Towns, try to double up on him. And even when we had D'Lo, they put the best defender on D'Lo because he could playmake as well. So that left Ant to just go off because they assumed, hey, you know what? He's going to take enough bad shots. He's going to take enough step backs when he doesn't need to. But it's different now, especially these last few months of the season. He's just making the right pass. And sometimes it is just a hockey assist. Sometimes he's just getting off the ball. He's trusting his teammates more. And there's times now that he'll go in, like, into a crowd of players, and you're like, no, Ant. And then he'll whip it to the corner, you know, and you're like, okay, cool, you know. But his mid-range game this year has taken a step up, and there's times where he says in the offseason, we'll have a session where that whole day we're just doing glass shots. That's it, off the glass. He's talking about he wants to bring back the Duncan off the glass look. And so, you know, he's taking the right shot at the right time. And when it's time to go, it's time to go. And shit, by the end of that series – in the first round, when Towns went off in that game four, they actually started to look at Towns too. And they started going one-on-one with Ant in the second half. And you saw what happened. I mean, obviously that Bradley Beal, you know, where they had like five or six great defensive rotations. Game was tight. And Alexander Walker got the steal, gave it to Ant. He dribbled down nice and calm. It was one-on-one. Open lane and everything. And he just took him out the dribble, had that nasty dunk, and he pretty much knew it was a wrap then. But, yeah, his decision-making is really, really different. But it's also the matchups, you know? Like I said, Cat, a lot of people were freaking out. Why they put him on Durant? Well, if you want to play him, you got to put him on someone. And, this is the first time that we put him on Jokic. And it's funny because I started hearing pundits, Marshall, talking about, oh, Jokic is going to destroy Rudy. It's like they're not even getting matched up barely. Like they will at times, but he's the lurker. He keeps Gordon on the outside, and he lurks. He still protects the rim. So Jokic, at Cat, then you do have Rudy, but you also have Nas, and you also have Kyle Anderson. So you literally have four guys to throw at him constantly. Another thing is they started picking him up, especially when Nas was out there. They started picking him up way early, coming down the court. Same with Murray. Like, to have McDaniels is crazy, right? He's real long and lanky on him. But then you also have Alexander Walker off the bench, which you can close with him. So a lot of these matches, look at this, dude. If you look at, first of all, in the regular season, I think the Wolves have won 7 out of the last 11 in the regular season. But last year, obviously, they got 4-1, right? So if you include the last 14 matchups, regular season in playoffs, which obviously is, you know, I guess you could say 4-2 now, right? Because it was 4-1 last year, and then you got to give one to Minnesota. Nuggets have won 8. Timberwolves have won 6, right? The field goal percentage is exact. Look at this shit. This is on some Duke, North Carolina shit, dude. 1,555 points to the Nuggets, 1,565 points. So, I mean, this has actually been a much tighter thing that people give credit. Now, do I think, you know, they're going to win tonight? No, I don't. They're not. In fact, I saw this stat. Nuggets have never gone down 2-0 at home in 21 playoff series. I don't think they're going to lose tonight. I'm not saying that. But for the record, on my Timberwolves podcast, I did pick the Wolves in 7. So I'm going to have to stick with that, my friend.
I'll take Wolves in 6. I'll say that they get to celebrate those home fans, which would be a pretty good experience for a fan base who's been had some many, many, many rough years. So, yeah, I'll take Wolves in 6. As you said, I think they're the best defensive team in the league. which does matter. Again, NBA is a glorified sport of offense, but when you have the best defensive team in the league and you have depth, that's massive. The Wolves have a better bench than the Nuggets do. That's what helped them beat the Suns. And as I've said all year to my friends here down in Texas who are big basketball fans, I was like, Naz Reid is probably the best player in basketball that not everyone like knows about for a household name. Not saying Naz Reid is like a top 10 player in the NBA, but for like the regular Joe NBA fan that knows a bunch of like, you know, LeBron, Kyrie, KD, like Naz Reid is one of the best players in basketball that not everyone knows about. And that dude is special. And he had a nice little run there in the fourth. See, I'll take your boys. I think the Wolves won in six.
All right. So OKC. I'm about just pumped, I guess. Dallas and OKC. You know, Dallas had a longer series. OKC's just been kind of chilling. You know, like, can their guy for, you know, Oklahoma, can he get some help, enough help? You know, if you look at Jalen Williams, the guy can kind of do it all, you know, on both sides of the court. He's a top-notch two-way player. He can assist. He can score. He's definitely going to have to be himself and maybe up a notch. He's an all-purpose player. He's definitely a key. Because that 1-2 punch, like I mentioned, with Luka and Kyrie, they're really getting it together. That the playoff experience, Luka may be young, but he's got a ton of playoffs experience. We know Kyrie does. The improved defense that we see now, much like a couple years ago when they made a run. The overall length and athleticism now. They got a bunch of long, lanky dudes out there. A lot of them can play defense, where then Luka and Kyrie, that's not their thing per se, but they don't get exposed left and right either. Now, that may be a key, right, to do switches and to start wearing those guys down, but Luka has a guy now that he won't probably get is worn down, right? So, I mean, this has got six or seven games written all over it. And, you know, OKC, not that solid defensive team, very good offense. Obviously, the experience, the youth, they are small. They are small ball. It's not like Dallas has bunch of bigs that are dominant by any stretch of the imagination. Shit, they've been small for a while too. But the, just the trades they've made and now the 1-2 punch coming together at the right time. How do you see this series going, man?
As I just said, I think a lot of times in basketball, you got to favor the team that has the best player on the court. Obviously, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had a hell of a season, but I do think Luka is the best player on the court. You could argue offensively for sure that Kyrie is number two. You know.
Yeah, because you got to do those ratings over. If you're, is it offensively or is it best player? SGA is a better player.
Yeah, you're right. So maybe offensively wise, Luka is the best player in the series from offense all around. You know, yes, Shai Gilgeous. So I do think this will be a fun series. I did hear some local media talk around town about who's going to guard Luka. Like, I guess that's an issue for OKC. That's an issue for a team in basketball. Luka is one of the best players in the league. The way he plays, so, like, under control, slow, yet fast is, like, crazy. So, I mean, I
did. Especially how he turns it up a notch, too, in the playoffs.
Yeah, that sounds kind of silly. But obviously, Luka's hard to guard, whether it is Minnesota, Boston, any team. No, there's no way to lock him down for good. So, the only thing that scares me if you're a Denver, Dallas fan is can you consistently get your other guys to do just enough? Like, yeah, you're probably going to have Kyrie and Luka. If they can average 70 a game, you're probably going to win them all. But if one has an off night, do the guys like Gafford and Jones, like, can they do enough to win you a series? I don't know. Because I do think that overall OKC has more talented people on paper from a whole team standpoint. You got Chet, you got Giddy, You got SGA. You got that Jalen Williams. Like, you have people. But it's, you know, so it's going to be a fun matchup. But Luka has shown he can almost single-handedly sometimes carry a team through. So I guess the biggest thing I've seen, Chris, is when I did watch OKC play, defensively, they look like they're not there yet. Like, I think this is a younger team. You don't have those, like, quite those lockdown defenders yet. I think this team has had a lot of success from winning games because they're the more gifted offense. And you have young players who are very talented. But from when I did watch them the regular season, and obviously New Orleans without Zion wasn't a huge test. I don't want to say that's nothing. But I think they're going to get tested more now. So I'm kind of going back and forth. I'm going to take Luka just because I think he's proven more in the playoffs. And obviously Kyrie, when he gets going, can be insane to guard. So I just think that they have too much offensive firepower. And my last point, which I have not made, what I should have made from the start, is OKC is a super young team. Like, just like I said about the Magic for the last few weeks, OKC is kind of in that same boat. Like, you have a bunch of players who obviously are better than Orlando, but they're still young, like Giddy and Chet. And, like, a lot of the draft picks they've had for the last couple of years, these guys really haven't been this far. This is a new experience for them. So will that playoff experience from Luke and Kyrie trump OKC? I think it will. So I will take Luka to be special and win in OKC in game 7.
That's my pick, too. And but what you said about the, you know, the other scorers, you know, that's a good point. Because if you look at it so far in the playoffs, you have almost 30 points a game by Doncic. You have 26.5. In Washington's about 11. And then you drop off to like 8s and 6s and 5s. And it sounds like the Keebler center's out now. He's done.
Oh, and he's always been a good role player for them. Always. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it, not that, you know, they may have to go small in this lineup anyway, but yeah, he's solid. PJ Washington's solid. You know, they have Gafford. They have players. But you're right as far as, like, consistently, you know, helping out. You can't just rely on those two to score. And it could get, like, Doncic only shot 40% in the series. You know, he took 25 shots, 40%. That's not good. 24% from three, you know? So those numbers are only going up. I'll say that. But that's why I think it is a game 7, because what you said about the help, you know, it's nice to have a bunch of solid role players, but you need a guy to have 16 some night, 18 some night, you know, that type of thing. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think the inexperience will cost them. I think Giddy's solid. But I also think he's been found out a little bit. And you know, a couple times this year I've watched him, not just the Timberwolves games, but I've seen him get played off the court. So,
sure.
You know what I mean? So I'm there with you. Now, Celtics, Cavs, you know, 5 games. I mean, the very tops would be 6, but I could see 5 games just because this Boston team isn't, at times disciplined enough to have a sweep, it seems.
They love to blow one at home, it seems. Last year they did it. This year, I wish I would have bet Miami. They were like a plus 1,000 underdog. So, yeah, Boston will let one slip away.
Won't go past 6, though, probably,
no.
Right?
Yeah, I would say 5. Could see it being 5 like it was with the Heat, sir. Yeah, I'd say Celtics in 5.
Now, one more thing. The Knicks, the Pacers, a throwback. Someone's going to get in a fight. Can the Knicks stay freaking healthy? Like, they've been dropping bodies left and right this year. They've managed to keep it together. They have, you know, a solid-ass defense. They got the playmaker. They got role players to score. But it's like, all right, dude, no more injuries. They cannot. I know they've gotten over the hump, and I know they've played through a lot of that stuff, and they found other role players and all that. I get that. But we're at a time now where they can't lose anymore, dude, any more players. They just can't. They just can't. And then Haliburton, I think his offensive aggression probably has to go up. He's been, you know, I remember he hit that big shot and he was saying how he's been struggling and this, that, and the third. And he was hurt there for a while, you know, in the second half of the season. I think that'll be key for them. We know he's going to get the assists. We know he's going to play solid, but I think a little bit more offense out of him. I like this thing to go deep, Marshall. I really do. A lot of people are just saying Knicks. I'm not saying I'm picking the Knicks, but I think this thing's going to go deep, man.
I think the biggest issue is that the Pacers are really shitty at defense. I think the run into Milwaukee team that was beat up helped them. But if you watch them play, yes, they do play like maybe the fastest tempo in the league and they score at will. But they really don't play good defense. And I think as we were talking about with the Timberwolves, like why they have one of the best records here is because they played elite defense. So but if you do want to keep running, I could see that being proactive because the Knicks were really only playing seven people a game versus Philly. So if you're Thibodeau, who do you trust off your bench? Because let's say Indiana doesn't want to make this a track meet. Okay, at home, they're probably going to steal a couple from you. Okay, I know you're the favorites. But if you're playing a team that loves to run and you're a seven-man deep rotation, unless you can incredibly slow the game down, you're going to get worn out. So who does Thibodeau trust off his bench to earn some minutes? Because Brunson can't carry you for a whole series, you know? I think the Knicks are a better team. I think they win the series. I just think this one might draw out a little bit because, again, Pacers are going to – they're not going to stop you that much, but they're going to jack threes like crazy. So I will take Knicks and six, and I'll just say this for a fun fact. This is when I really did start watching basketball back in the early 90s when it was like the Knicks and the Rockets and the Bulls and the Heat. This – I remember being a fan of like Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley and Larry Johnson. That's when I really did love basketball. And so obviously it was a way different kind of game then, but – I remember being amped up as hell as being a little.
Well, nowadays, people say, oh, I hate watching that game because there's too many 19-foot jump shots.
As a little kid, man, watching those Knicks and Pacer games with, like, Miller and Starks, dude, that was some
grown
good-ass
men
basketball.
Out there playing. Grown
that
men.
Was some good-ass. I know the scores were, sure, it was like 80s and 90s, 70s, 80s, but that was fun. There was bad blood. The crowds were insane. Give me that again. Like, I would go back in the day because that was some good – that was enjoyable rivalry basketball. So hopefully we get something that minorly resembles what was with, like, Starks and Miller and Larry Johnson. Oakley, dude, that was fun stuff. So that's what really got me hooked on NBA growing up as a young kid. And I'm sure a lot of other people listen to the podcast around that time too.
Dude, Obi Toppin, the comeback game, he's still pissed. No, I do like – like, they have a bunch of solid players, and I like this Pacer team, especially for the future. And, you know, as much as – like, I think right now that as long as the Knicks don't lose anybody, they're going to win the series.
Sure.
But, yeah, here's the drop-off. Brunson was averaging 35.5 a game so far, right, in the playoffs. He's got the highest average, and I think my guy Ant is second. Then you got Hart, almost 17. You got Ananobi, 15. You got DiVincenzo, 12. McBride. McBride's come out of nowhere, playing very solid, 11 points. Hardenstein, 10 points. Bogdanović is out. You know, he's done. He's having this, you know, I think he's been done for a couple games now. But that's why I'm saying, like, they do have enough quality role players. It's not such a drop-off. Now, Hart's not Kyrie either, we were talking about before, but I think, sure. You know, enough role players and solid folks around Brunson and then that defense, you know. And like you said, if they have the best player and they can play better defense than the other team by a long shot, that's why I think the Knicks win. Check this out. So the Knicks were up 22 points in that closeout game and Philly came back and, you know, they ended up. Knicks ended up closing them out. But check this out, dude. Best records when leading by 15 points. The Knicks are now 30, including the playoffs, 38-0. If you get a 15-point lead, the Knicks get it 38-0, dude. The Thunder are 45-1. Pacers are 40-2. Jazz were 18-1. The Sixers were 33-2. But that's pretty crazy. But, yeah, this Brunson. 40 points, 6 assists, 47 points, 10 assists, 39, 13. This dude is just going off, man. I mean, he is, and he can shoot better, dude. We said that off that first game. He can still shoot better, too. That's what's scary about him. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think the Knicks win it. But I think it goes, I don't know. I hate to do this. Oh, seven, dude, another seven, you know. I think it could be five or six. But I have a feeling it'll go six. But, yeah, that's all I got. Why don't you take us out of here, sir?
All right, on that note, the second round has begun or is beginning temporarily as we speak. So we'll be back next week with hopefully some a couple more Anthony Edwards dropping 40 pieces on the Nuggets, and I get close to winning my 5K. So on that note, enjoy the weather, enjoy the summer, maybe get out the golf clubs. We'll be back next week, talk more NBA playoffs. We hope you all tune in. Have a good night. Boys are out. Peace.